Welcome everyone. It's not often, you know, we're in the midst of our service. It's not often you get exercise in the course of a worship service. But I'd like to insert our customary announcements that come at the beginning of the service now. Say first of all, a word about our communion practice here at Holden. And in short, all are welcome to receive the sacrament. And we receive, moving counterclockwise around the fire ring, receiving the bread here, and then the first cup will have wine, and the second cup, the first cup will have wine for drinking, and if you would prefer to drink out of a small cup, you may take one, and the first pitcher of wine, and the second pitcher will have grape juice. Another aspect of the sermon, or this service that makes it quite unique, is that there's a very dramatic change in tone in the service, which will be apparent very shortly. And that is that at the beginning, we celebrate Jesus of jubilation and triumph, really, in so many ways. And in a few minutes, we'll have now a reading of the entire the Passion from the Gospel of Matthew. The tone of what Jesus experienced as he entered into Jerusalem during that week was one of great change. And we'll experience that in just a few moments. During this week, Holy Week, we will hear the Passion in its entirety tonight out of the Gospel of Matthew. We'll hear it again in the Gospel of John on Friday. It's an opportunity to hear the real force of the Passion narrative in its body twice this week, and to really let it soak in to us. And there will be a very short sermon today because we have, but it'll be read in parts, and I think will be very allow us all to enter into it in that way. And we will also have just one Old Testament reading before that we get to the reading of the Gospel. And so with that, we will continue with our reading.
First reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning, the Lord God wakens my ear to listen as those. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I didn't turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. The one who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty.
We sing the Gospel acclamation for Lent, which is found on page 103. The reading of the Passion, and everyone should be able to have their eyes on a copy. There is half as many as there are people, so if you could, every other person, take one and make sure you're sharing. And we'll have to pass them to those who are above as well. Need to pass a few to those who are up above as well. Could anyone receive them? Introduction before we begin. The stones that have been part of our accumulating as part of our worship throughout the season of Lent are going to have an appearance in the reading as well. Those lines where you see they're indented in bold and italicized, those are words that have been added to the narrative that are imagining that the stones are witnesses to the events of those days in Jerusalem, and that will be an added part of the reading. And every place where you see that a character, where it's the character's name in the parentheses, it says all, it'll be read by the whole assembly. Just one note where it says, down the page, it says disciples, and then it says narrator all. It should be, the all should be with the disciples there. So we'll read that the disciples all. Okay?
Imagine this stone comes from Jerusalem at the time of Jesus, a witness to the events of those days. What might the stones tell us? Might this ask, surely not I, Lord?
Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
what will you give me if I betray him to you?
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying,
Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?
He said,
go into the city to a certain man. The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
truly I will betray me.
And they became greatly distressed, and began to say to him, one after another,
surely not I, Lord.
He answered,
the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born.
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
surely not I, Lord.
He replied,
you have said so.
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said,
take, eat, this is my body.
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Surely not I, Lord.
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.
Peter said to him,
they will all become deserters because of you. I will never desert you.
Jesus said to him,
truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times.
Peter said to him,
even though I must die with you, I will not deny you.
And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
sit here while I go over there and pray.
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me.
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want.
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
so could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Surely not I, Lord.
Again he went away for the second time and prayed,
my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.
Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Imagine this stone comes from the Garden of Gethsemane. This stone asks, is it with a kiss?
While they were still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
the one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him.
At once he came up to Jesus and said,
greetings, Rabbi.
Is it with a kiss?
And kissed him. Jesus said to him,
friend, do what you are here to do.
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, that he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen this way?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Is it with a kiss?
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the court of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. The high priest stood up and said,
have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.
Jesus said to him,
you have said so. But I tell you from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"He has blasphemed. Why do we still need this? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?"
They answered,
"He deserves death."
Then they spat in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?"
Imagine this stone comes from the high priest. It asks, "Are you with him?"
Now Peter was sitting in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said,
"You also were with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it before all of them, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.
Are you with him?"
Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
"Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you."
Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know the man."
"Are you with him?"
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said,
"Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times."
And he went out and wept bitterly.
Imagine this stone comes from Pilate's court. It asks, "Why? What evil has he done?"
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. When Jesus, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood."
But they said,
"What is that to us? See to it yourself."
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, pieces of silver, said,
It is not lawful to put them into the treasury.
After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price. And they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus said,
"You say so."
But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?"
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
"Whom do you want me to free you, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
"Have nothing to do with him, but today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him."
"Why? What evil has he done?"
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
And they said,
"Barabbas."
Pilate said to them,
"Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
All of them said,
"Let him be crucified."
When he asked,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But they shouted all the more,
"Let him be crucified."
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourself."
When the people as a whole answered,
"His blood be on us and on our children."
"Why? What done?"
So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the quarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They spat on him and took the rock him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe, his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They told this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'"
"Why? What evil has he done?"
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eli, lema sabachthani?"
That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then some of the bystanders heard it, said,
"This man is calling for Elijah."
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will save him."
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
"Truly this man was God's son."
Many women were also there from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee.
"Why, what evil has he done?"
When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
Sir, we remember that an apostate said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he raised from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first.
Pilate said to them,
You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can.
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord. This is a positively sick worship service. I'm going to pivot here a little bit. Beginning, as it does, with a parade, a jubilant one that marks Palm Sunday. And then moving into the story of Jesus' passion, where those same crowds and those same people who were singing accolades, fled, betrayed, and turned on him within a week. It is arguably very schizophrenic, but at the same time, I think it also puts its finger on the divided nature of our own hearts in our own lives. In this story of Jesus' passion, we hear him being resented and betrayed, and him responding with love. He was deserted by his friends, and he responded with love. He was mocked, and he responded with love. He was tortured to death, and he responded with love. It's almost too much. It really is too much. And it's a love, a force of love, that betrays to me, at least, how fickle and small my own love is, how full of resentment and fear I am. And so this week, this Holy Week, we will follow the course of events. On Thursday, Maundy Thursday, we behold the foot washing of Jesus, washing the feet of his disciples. We will do that ourselves and to one another. This example of servant love. We will behold the gift of the supper of bread and wine shared in his name, in which he said that he will still be able to be found in that giving and receiving of bread and wine. We will behold his dying as the world which cannot tolerate such love tries to drive it out. And we will behold the forgiveness, even of the torturers themselves. And we behold love's victory in the wonder and mystery of the resurrection. And so this Holy Week, we behold God's overwhelming of our violence, of our resentment, of our fear, by the power and beauty of God's own unrelenting, persistent, suffering love. And it's a love and a gift beyond all reckoning. And we do this not to present or not to act like we're still living in Bible times and just reenacting something of the past, but acknowledge it is a love given still, given to us, given to you, for you. Pivot. We will sing the hymn that is printed in your bulletin. Let us stand and sing.
Pray that the same mind be in your church as was in Christ Jesus, that we continue to bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that as springtime continues to dawn upon us, that we would see in your renewal of the earth a sign of your renewal of our lives, grace. Make us faithful and humble stewards of the world we call home. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that those with authority show great mercy. We pray especially for nations and peoples suffering greatly. For the people of Libya, that there would be justice and peace in the land. For the people of Japan, as they continue to recover from the devastating earthquake and tsunami. For the people of North Carolina, who are recovering and mourning the loss of those who died in deadly tornadoes yesterday. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that you feed the hungry, free the captives, clothe the naked, heal the sick in torture, and turn our swords into plowshares. We lift before you those who are in need of your healing and care, especially those we name before you now, either silently or aloud. God of mercy, we give thanks for the strong backs, energetic spirits, and good humor of all who made our fall work week such a success. Continue to uphold the thousands of faithful people, far and wide, who make up the community and ministry that is Holden Village. May this Holy Week open our ears in new ways to the story of Jesus' life-giving passion. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
For what else shall we pray? God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hold us in communion with the faithful witnesses who have gone before us until that day when we join them at the feast that is to come. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, God of abundant grace, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace.
Thank you.
Stand as the gifts of bread and wine and our offerings are brought forward.
Holy, gracious, and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish our whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
Our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful Father, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the feast that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we pray in name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your spirit poured out on all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Give new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love.
Holy Spirit,
with your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one in the Spirit, we are bold as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
Amen.
In heaven,
hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. This is Christ's table, at which we are all guests. Come now, for all things are prepared.
Thank you.
body of Christ and the body of Christ given to you. Body of Christ given to you. Please stand. We sing our post-communion song, Lord, now you let your servant go in peace.
Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven.
Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be for justice, our alms the making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Blessed Holy Trinity, keep you in grace, lead you in light, and give you peace.
Amen.
Sing hymn 342.
Oh.